We're holding on cuff Hey Omid Bey's four lines from the bottom. We went through yesterday. We had in the Mishnah, we had Reb Tarfon's Kal Vachomer, where he wanted to prove that Keren Birshus HaNizik should be paying Nezek Sholim. First, he tried to do it based on Keren Birshus HaRabim, and the Chum told him you have to consider Dayoi. And then he said, okay, I'm going to try to learn it from regular Birshus HaRabim, but also involving Keren. And the Chum said Dayoi still has to apply in that case. So now that Reb Tarfon himself, we said, has a different understanding of the mechanism of Dayoi, so therefore he's not so bothered by the Chachamim's questions. But in any case, the point is, according to the Chachamim, because of that, we don't accept this Kal Vachomer. Well, now that we don't, the Gemara says, why don't we try to turn the Kal Vachomer around then and say something that we haven't learned until now? So the Gemara says, "Uktehei shein v'rego chayev b'shus rabim mikal v'choim." So in that case, why don't we say that shein and regel should be chayev and b'shus rabim? Use the kal v'choim, use Reb Tarfon's kal v'choim, but kind of the other way around. Again, now that we're saying that we don't accept the results of his kal v'choim, so therefore it's a given. Therefore, that Keren is paying only chatzi nezek everywhere. Well, then let's use that as the basis for a kal v'choim. Uma Keren b'shus hanizek, ma Keren. If Keren, which is in Rishus HaNizek, and which Reb Tarfon was trying to argue should be more stringent, paying Nezek Sholem, nevertheless it doesn't. We're saying it pays only Chatzin Nezek. But if the same Shein Veregel does the damage in Rishus HaRabim, then you're paying full Nezek. In that, sorry, the Keren rather, Keren Rishus HaNizek and Nezek. But Birshus HaRabim Chayeves, it's Chayev something, not Nezek Sholem, it's Chayev Chatzi Nezek, but it is Chayev something in Birshus HaRabim. So Shein V'Regel, Shel Birshus HaNizek, B'Shalom Nezek Sholem, Ein Adin Shel Birshus HaRabim Chayev. Shouldn't it be that a Kal V'Chomer, that Shein V'Regel, which are paying Nezek Sholem in, which are paying, so Shein V'Regel, Shel Birshus HaNizek, Mishalem Nezek Sholem. So, if they take place in Rishus HaNizek, they're paying Nezek Sholem. Ain't a din sheber Rishus HaRabim Chayev. Wouldn't it be a Kal V'Chomer that they should be Chayev in Rishus HaRabim? Now, you could argue, Chayev in the sense that what are you going to say? What about Dayoi? But fine, since we're already saying in Rishus HaNizek, then they're Chayev Nezek Sholem. All we're doing is we're saying the same amount that they would be Chayev Rishus HaNizek would be in Rishus HaRabim. So that wouldn't necessarily contradict Dayoi, but the point is, why don't we learn that way? And the fact is, we've been learning all
What,
along
one
that,
second. Why do we have to prove the Kal V'Chomer in the other direction when it's implied already? It's proven if it's been invalidated in the first direction.
Until now, Shein V'Regel, we've said it's Potter in Rishus HaRabim. This Kal V'Chomer would tell us that it's Chayev Rishus HaRabim. We would say the same way as Keren. Where Keren, fine, is paying Chatzi Nezek either way, but it's paying Chatzi Nezek whether Birshus HaNizek or in Rishus HaRabim. So then Shein, Verego, which are paying full in Rishus HaNizek, why should they be completely potter in Rishus HaRabim? On the contrary, they should be paying in Rishus HaRabim. And how much should they be paying in Rishus HaRabim? Same as they would in Rishus HaNizek, Nezek Sholim. So why don't we say that? The answer is omakro, because the pasuk says via b'sdei acher, that the animal damages, the animal destroys in someone else's field. So that makes it clear that it's only that it's restricted to somebody else's field, and that means v'lo b'rishus rabim. So b'sdei acher excludes b'rishus rabim. Okay, the Gemara says midei kulei kamrin, and fine. Do you think we're saying that the shein v'regel should be chayev nezek shalom in b'rishus rabim? Pauga kamrin, and fine. At least we should argue that it's chayev chatzi nezek. Fine, you're right. Because of Sdei Acher, you can't say it's completely Chayev and Rishus HaRabim. But fine, we should say the Kal V'Chomer would tell us that you're paying Chatzi Nezek. Without the Pasuk, we would have said actually Nezek Sholem. Comes the Pasuk and reduces it back down to Chatzi Nezek. But why don't we say that? The answer is Omakra. Fine, but we have a different Pasuk regarding Chatzi Nezek. The pasuk is v'chotzu es kasboi. The pasuk says when you have a case of a shur tam that causes damage, so it says they divide its money. Meaning, in other words, that's chatzi nezek, because in other words, we're saying that you take the actual shur itself, you figure out its value, and you're capped at half of that. As we've learned all this time, that chatzi nezek is capped at the value of the shur that caused damage. Now, the word kaspoi, what do you mean? It's, what do you mean? It's money. Of course, it means, who else is? It means kaspe shozev, but like kaspe shalacher. That's a miut from which we learn only in that case are you paying chatzin nezek, but not in other, in the case of other kinds of mazikim. So with the exception of, we've learned at the beginning of the parak, chatzin nezek tzeres, that's a halachal moshe misinai, or however we define whether it's an actual halacha l'mishmi Sinai or whether it's just a very firmly based halacha, but whatever the case, it's part of Torah Shabbal Peh. But other than that, the pasuk is implying that the other ovos that were mentioned in the pesukim over there are not paying chatzin nezek, so therefore, no, you can't use this kal v'chomer to make it pay chatzin nezek. So that disposes of that possible kal v'chomer. Okay, the Gemara says, how about the other way around? Well then, how about we use a kal v'chomer to say that Shein v'regel in Rishus HaNizek should be paying only Chatzin Nezek? Maybe we would say, like this we're saying in Rishus HaRabim, you're paying Nezek Sholim. In Rishus HaNizek, you're paying Chatzin Nezek. In Rishus HaNizek, we've been saying all this time, you're Potter. Now you should say, maybe we can use a different kal v'chomer to say that there you're going to be paying chatzin nezek. Again, kal v'chomer mekeren, you can make a kal v'chomer from keren. Now, Tosfos immediately brings up the question, didn't we just say that we're learning from the word kaspoi that we're excluding all the other avos nezikin from paying chatzin nezek? And so Tosfos says, because there we're talking about, that's what we're talking about whenever you have a chatzin nezek that's paid me gufoi, where after all, the word kaspoi means its value, its money, meaning in other words that we're taking the shirt itself and figuring out its value, so then we're excluding that, oh, that's the only case where we do that, we never otherwise pay chatzin nezek me gufoi. But here, if we were to say it's chatzin nezek v'chatzara nezek, then we wouldn't pay me gufoi, we would pay min ha'aliyah. When the Gemara had made the first argument that Shein v'regel should be chayev in Rishus, should be chayev in if we were trying to do the first argument that it should be chayev in Rishus Rabim based on kal v'chomer, where till now we said it's potter, we would have said that it means it's paying migufoi. So now we're saying forget about migufoi. Now we're talking about min ha'aliyah. So therefore the miut from kaspoi doesn't apply. So therefore, we should make a kal v'chomer as follows. Ma keren shebe Rishus HaRabim chayeves. Ma de keren where you are chayev if the animal does it in Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaNizek einem shalom es ela chatzin nezek. So then when the same thing happens in Rishus HaNizek, because the animal is a tam, and because the halacha is not like the tyrophin, then we're paying only chatzin nezek. Shein v'regel shebe Rishus HaRabim p'tura. So then a shein v'regel, which is potter in Rishus HaRabim, completely, which as we've just established, then shouldn't it be a kal v'chomer? Then Rishus HaNizek, you're paying only chatzin nezek for it. So why don't we say that? And the answer is, omakro, because the pasuk says about Shein v'regel, yishalem, he should pay, implying tashlum and malya, we're talking about a full payment, we're not talking about chatzin nezek. So that disposes of that possible kal v'chomer as well. Okay, a third one, the Gemara asks, here's a third possibility. Again, each time, once we've established a point in the first, when we attempted the first kal v'chomer and we shot it down, that made it clear that Shein v'regel, there's no way to be mechayev in Rishus HaRabim. The kal v'chomer wouldn't work because we have the word b'sdei acher and we have the word kaspoi. Now, based on the second one, we established that Shein v'regel are paying nezek sholem v'rishus ha-nizek. Now we should be able to use those facts to make a third kal v'chomer. We should say v'loy tehe keren v'rishus ha-rabim chayev v'kal v'chomer. We should be able to use those facts to make a new kal v'chomer as far as keren v'rishus ha-rabim and say that it should be potter. Where in Rishus HaNizek they're paying Nezek Sholim, as we just proved, you can't make the second kal v'chomer to say otherwise, and Rishus HaRabim Ptura, and Rishus HaRabim it's Potter on the basis of how we shot down the first kal v'chomer. Keren, Rishus HaNizek, Chatzin Nezek, then in that case, Keren, which is paying only Chatzin Nezek in Rishus HaNizek, because we don't have Reb Tyrefin's kal v'chomer anymore, wouldn't it be a kal v'chomer that in Rishus HaRabim it should be potter? Because we're saying, in other words, it's even less than Shein v'regel. Shein v'regel are paying nezek sholem in Rishus HaNizek. Keren there is paying only chatzin nezek. So then Shein v'regel being potter in Rishus HaRabim, maybe Keren should be as well. And the answer is, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Omakro Yechzu. Because the pasuk says again regarding that case where the where an animal that's a tam gores, and the pasuk says the pasuk finishes off gamas hames yechatsun. They also divide up the value of the dead one. Meaning, we learned in the first parak that the nevela basically belongs to the nizik, and we say we figure the value of the nevela, and then the mazik continues paying on top of that. So we're going to talk about it in more detail in the next parak, make various calculations. But let's say, to take a simple example, which is on the face of it, what the Torah is talking about is, let's say you had two animals, each of which was worth 100. One of them killed the other. So now 50 has to be paid as chatzi nezek. So now if you have the nevela is worth 20, then fine, you have 20, and then you're paying an additional 30 on top of it. So you're saying, v'gamas hames yechtzun, you figure out the value of the live animal and the value of the dead animal, and you make the calculations accordingly. The point is, in other words, that it didn't have to say the word yechtzun. Once it says v'chotzu as kaspoi, they should divide the value of the live one, meaning that he's paying chatzi nezek. It doesn't have to say at the end of the when it continues v'gamas hames, also the dead one. It didn't have to add the word yechtzun. So the word yechtzun says Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us that there's always ein chatzi nezek choluk loy b'shas rabim v'loy b'shas yachid. There's never any difference. You never have less than chatzi nezek, no matter what the reshus is. Now, the Gemara is not saying what Reb Taufin would do with that drasha. Either he would use the word yechtzun for a different purpose, or he would say the word yechtzun is meant, in fact, to counteract this possible kavachomer you would have made. But it doesn't mean that in one reshus versus it doesn't mean that in some reshuyas you might not pay more than chatzi nezek. Whatever the case, we've disproved that third possible kavachomer as well, and therefore we're left with what we know the halacha to be so far. Shein meregel is chayev nezek shalom in ashos hanizek, but potter in ashos harabim. Keren of tam is chayev chatzi nezek in either place. Okay, the Gemara tries. Here's another possible kavachomer that maybe we should be able to make. This one is not really directly related to the other ones, but while we're trying to do kavachomers to try and figure out dinim as far as the obvious nezikin, maybe here is some other ones we can try. V'yehei adam chayev b'koifer mikavachomer. Maybe we should say that if a person killed somebody else, then he should be chayev and koifer. We've talked about before. We're going to talk about in more detail in the next parak, that when an animal kills a person, so not only we're going to talk about it actually more in the fourth parak, but whatever. Anyway, that not only are so we say that when an animal kills a person, the animal is chayev misa, and if the animal becomes mu'ad, then you also on top of that, the owner of the animal is paying koifer. He's paying a ransom of a certain amount of money to the yoshim of the person who was killed. We've touched on before. We're going to talk about later in more detail around Def Mem Aleph or so, about what the nature of that koifer is. Is it basically meant as a koifer, as a ransom for the fact that the owner of the shur himself really deserves to be killed for being so careless with his animal, but the Torah is giving him a break and allowing him to kind of ransom himself by giving money? Or is it that, in that case, it would be his value, Dmei Mazik? Or is it basically meant to make up for the fact, like you have nowadays, for example, compensatory damages that they have in the secular courts, where it's meant to compensate the family for the fact that now this guy is no longer living and can no longer provide for them, and therefore would be Dmei Nizek. We'll talk about that later in the second. Anyway, the point is, so now the Gemara is going to argue that we should say that when a person kills, he should be chayev in koifer. Now, how would he be? On the face of it, he's going to get a different punishment. And don't we say kam lebe de rabbi minei? So Rashi says we're talking about that it was bemazed, but there was no hasra. So therefore, there's no he can't be executed by Beis Din. He can't be sent off to Golos to the Orei Miklot. So therefore, maybe we should say that at least he should be paying a koifer. Tosfos rather learns you don't really have to say that. You could be saying the same way as when the shur kills, the shur is executed, the shur is given skila, as well as the owner pays koifer. Maybe you could say over here that fine. What we mean is, in other words, that when we say kom lebe de rabbi minei, we mean that, for example, that he's not necessarily paying for the other nezikin, but maybe koifer is different. So maybe he should have to. And we should make a kavachomer. Madacha for sure injures a person. The owner of the shur is not paying the abad varim. He's paying only nezek, but he's not paying the other four, tsar, ripui, shevis, and boshes. As we've talked about before, that the posik, we have a drosha from a, actually we're going to bring in a minute now, a drosha from a posik that says that only when a person causes injury is he chayev for those things, not when his shur does. So the shur is not chayev ba'abod varim, chayev b'koifer, and yet the owner of the shur is chayev to pay koifer. Odom shechayev ba'abod varim. Well, then if a person, where if he injures another person, he's chayev in the abod varim, ain't a din shehe chayev b'koifer, wouldn't it be a kavachomer that if he killed him, he should be chayev koifer? Either, as Rashi says, where there's not going to be missus based in, or golos, or according to Tosfos, maybe even when there is. We're saying that we're not allowed to take a koif. The pasuk makes it clear you're not allowed to take a koifer from a retzeach, but that means you're not allowed to take a koifer in order to exempt him from his punishment. That means, in other words, you can't say, for example, well, the same way as when a person causes injury, we take money from him and he pays for that, and then he's potter from anything else. The same way we would say that when he kills, we should allow him to give money. No, the Torah is specifically forestalling that. But still, maybe on top of the missa, he should have to pay kofer. Anyway, how do we know that not based on this kavachomer? And the answer is yushas olav, because the pasuk says that the owner of the shur has to pay kofer according to what was set on him, according to what was imposed by Beis Din on him. The word olav means veloyal adam, only on the ox, not on a person. So therefore, so that disposes of that kavachomer. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, the other way around. Well, then let's turn the kavachomer around and say that if a shur injures, it should be chayev in the abad varim. And based on a kavachomer, uma odem she'en chayev b'koifer, madoch a person who is not chayev in koifer, as we just established, chayev ba'abod varim. Yet if he injures a person rather than killing him, he's paying not just nezek but also the other four things. Shur she'chayev b'koifer, and he did she'chayev ba'abod varim. So then the shur is chayev in koifer, as we see clearly from the psukim. So shouldn't it be a kavachomer that he's also paying the abod varim? And the answer is no. Omakro ish ba'amisoy, because When the pasuk talks about the other nizikin, and specifically, actually, the expression in the pasuk is when a person injures ish ba'amisoy, one person injures the other. So we learn from that v'loy shur ba'amisoy. So it means not the shur. Now that pasuk is talking. That pasuk is not necessarily talking about all the different payments, but nonetheless, it's talking about at least one of them, and we can learn one from the other, as we're going to talk about on Omid Beis. So therefore, the expression of the pasuk, the whole expression is "Va'ish ki yitin mum ba'amisai," when a person causes a mum in somebody else, "Kasha osa kenya osa loy," as he did, so shall be done to him. Which of course doesn't mean that they injure the mazik himself, as we're going to learn later in the Masechta from many different lemudim. It means that he's paying. But the point is that whole concept of paying for all these other things, besides for nezek, applies only if a person caused the injury, not if a shur caused the injury. So that disposes of all of the possible kavachomers that we would do. So the result is that we're left with the dinim as we know them. Shein v'regalos chayev b'shusam nezek potu v'shusam rabim. Keren is chatzin nezek, keren tam, that is chayev chatzin nezek either way. A person is mu'ad la'olam, as we're going to learn that in the next Mishnah, but he's chayev in the abad dvarim, but even if he kills, he's potu from koifer. A shur, even when it becomes mu'ad, is potu from the abad dvarim, but is chayev in koifer. Now the Chachamim had a question. Here's a case involving, now we know of course that a shur is paying koifer when it committed keren. So when it gored a person and it's already a mu'ad, then the owner is paying a koifer. How about where an animal killed using one of the other obvious nizikin that is not keren? So, regal should dorsa agabatinik b'chatzar nizik. What if the foot of the animal stepped on a baby in the chotzer of the nizik, and killed it, mahu shetashalim kofer, what would be the din? Would we say that the owner of the ox is paying kofer? Would we compare it to Keren and say, with Keren, once it's done it two or three times, then it's a mu'ar and it pays kofer. The reason the Gemara mentions two or three is because you have a machloikas Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel in a couple of places in Shas. Most notably, we had it way back in Yevamos, where how many times do you need to establish something as a chazaka? Is two times enough, or do you need three? We're here at the beginning of in all Gemara, actually on Chaf Dalet Amud Beis as well. We talked about that that according to Rashi's way of learning it anyway, Rava may hold that you are in fact or Chaf Gimel Amud Beis rather that Rashi learned over there that Rava may hold that after two times is already a chazaka and the animal is moored. Anyway, so when an animal gores more than a couple of times, urchehu, then it's considered normal, or mashalim kofer, and the owner therefore is paying kofer. So you could argue, hochinami loishna. So the same way over here, maybe it's no different over here. Regal is more la'olam, as we know. So even maybe the first time that the animal steps with its feet on a baby and kills it, then maybe you actually have within that actually you have a machlokas rishonim what the Gemara is meaning to ask. Is it in fact only the first time? Tosfos learns that later in the Masechta. On the other hand, the Rashba says that maybe the Rashba learns from the Raivad, maybe not, maybe only if it's muad to kill people. Whatever the case, once it is, do we say that the owner is paying kofer? For that matter, Tosfos points out the same question could be asked about a wild animal that kills a person. We've learned before, you have chamisha mu'adin, there are five kinds of animals that are mu'ad mitchilasa, a lion, a wolf, a bear, etc. So by the same token, and it's perfectly normal for them to eat meat, including occasionally people. So then you could ask the same question about them. Anyway, so would we say that you learn it from Keren, and you would say the same way as Keren is paying kofer, so over here, hochinami loishna, no difference over here. Oyduma Keren kavanasa lahazik, hai ain kavanasa lahazik. Or maybe there's a big difference, because after all, Keren is intending to damage. Here, the animal is not intending to cause damage. It's walking along normally, and it didn't realize what it was stepping. So maybe therefore, it's not really the same. It's not really the same as Keren. So Tosfos actually wonders, exactly. Not only with why is the Gemara even asking the question? Of course, Keren is more chomer. And the Gemara is going to bring over here, the Gemara is going to bring over here Adam, who's chayev regardless. And we know that Adam moored la'olam. So in that case, Tosfos wonders why the Gemara is even bothering to ask the question. Shouldn't it be obvious that yes, Keren is different because Kavanos Elahazi? Nonetheless, the Gemara is asking the question. So that's the question then. So the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to bring a proof. A Braisa says Hichnis Shodai Lachatzar Balabayis Shaloi Birshus. If a person brings his shur into somebody else's chotzer without rishus, the nugchil balabayis umes, and that shur then gored the balabayis and killed him. Hashur beskila ubaila ben tam ben mur mashalim koyfer shomim divrei Reb Tyfon. So the shur is going to get skila because it killed a person. The owner of the shur, Reb Tyfon, says whether the shur is tam or mu'ad, either way, the owner is paying kofer shalom. The same way, in other words, as we learned before, that Reb Tyfon holds that Keren b'chatzar nizik is paying nezik shalom, even if it's a tam. Similarly, here he holds that you're going to be paying full kofer. So kofer shalom b'tam Reb Tyfon minolei. So where does Reb Tyfon get? Where does Reb Tyfon get that you should have to pay nezek shalom, that you should have to pay kofer shalom? Lav mishum b'sovel like Reb Yosi Aglili. Apparently it would be because he agrees with Reb Yosi Aglili. Do amatam mishalom chatzik kofer b'rishos arabim. because Rabbi Yossi actually holds that it's not just that you're paying kofar shalom if the animal was a mord. Rabbi Yossi holds that actually, even if the animal is tam, you're also paying kofar. It's just you're paying only half kofar. He brings that, he learned, and then he learns that on the basis of a kavachomer from Regel, where again he's saying so the same kind of kavachomer as Reb Tayfin did in the Mishnah to argue that if Regel is potter b'shusar abim, but in shusar nizik it's chayiv nezik shalom. Keren, which is chayiv chatzin nezik in Rosh Hashanah Abim, should certainly be chayiv nezik sholim b'shusar nezik. So now he does a similar thing as far as kofar. He's using a similar kavachomer from as far as kofar. He's saying madach shein v'regel. In Rosh Hashanah Abim, they would be potter, but in Rosh Hashanah Nizik, you're paying kofar sholim. So then keren, Rosh Hashanah Abim, you're paying chatzin kofar, according to Rabbi Yosef Lili, then Rosh Hashanah Nizik, you should be paying nezik sholim. So obviously that shows alma ikka kofer b'regel. So obviously that shows that there is kofer for that there is kofer when it comes to regel. Otherwise, he has no basis for his kavachomer. Now, to be sure, the chachamim disagree with Reb Tayfin. That's only because of dayoy, but it doesn't sound like necessarily. So fine, Reb Yosi Aglili might they also would disagree with Reb Yosi Aglili that there's kofer by that there's chatzi kofer when it comes to tam. So fine, the whole kavachomer falls apart according to them. But nevertheless, we do see there can be a concept of kofer when it comes to regel. It sounds like they're not disagreeing on that basic point. So in that case, then that would answer the question. Yes, if the animal steps on a baby and kills it, then yes, the owner of the animal is chayiv kofer. On the other hand, but Reb Shimi min Ahuda says that's not really a proof because we're not necessarily, Reb Tayfin is not necessarily learning from Kofer min Izokin de Rego Maisula. Maybe he's actually learning it just from the Nezik of Rego. So he's using the same Kavachomer as he did in the Mishnah regarding the actual Nezik that you're paying for in Rosh Hashanah Abim versus Rosh Hashanah Yachin. So in other words, he would agree with Rabbi Yosi Aglili and say that Keren Tam is paying chatzi kofer b'shusar abim, but he's not necessarily learning from the fact that Regel is paying kofer in one place or another because maybe he's not, maybe he's only learning. Maybe he's only learning by Keren that you have chatzi kofer in Rosh Hashanah Abim versus Keren versus kofer sholem in Rosh Hashanah Nizik. Not necessarily as Reb Tayfin or Reb Yosi Aglili, for that matter, bringing in anything about kofer when it comes to regel. In fact, Rabbi Hanano goes further. Rashi at least is saying that Reb Tayfin apparently would still have to agree with Rabbi Yosi Aglili and say that there's chatzi kofer in Rosh Hashanah Abim for Keren. Rabbi Hanano says you don't even need that. Just the fact alone that Keren is paying chatzi nezik Rosh Hashanah Abim might be enough for our purposes. Anyway, the point is that not necessarily is he actually deriving it from not necessarily is he taking it as a given that there is kofer when it comes to regel. So the Gemara says, "Velifrech." Well, in that case, then why don't we slog up the kavachomer and say, "Malin is zokin de regel shekain yeshin ve'esh." After all, the concept of the fact that you're paying nezik sholem in the chatzara nezik with regel, you have that kind of thing by fire as well. Kofu you don't have by fire. Because the whole concept that we're talking about kofu, we can be talking about by a shur where the pasuk says it to begin with. We can be talking about it by an Adam. We certainly aren't talking about it as far as Bur and Eish. Tosfos says earlier, we don't ever find actually that there should be a kofer when it comes to them. Oh, actually, what it is rather Tosfos says that because we said in kofer Yushas Olav, and we said the word olav excludes something. So the same way as we're excluding Adam from kofer, the same way we're excluding bor and esh from it by the same way. So olav refers only to when a shur commits, when a shur kills somebody. So fine, we can talk about whether it killed by goring. We're talking about over here whether if it killed by stepping, which is a different av nizikin. The bottom line is though that by esh we wouldn't say that. So if one person sets a fire and it spreads to somebody else's property and kills, we're certainly not saying that he's paying kofer. So that being the case, then we can shlug up the Kal v'chomer. We can say that that you're saying that Nizokin de regel achayev b'shus hanizik, sure, but so is Eish, and yet Eish is not paying kofer. So on what basis would you say that? On what basis would you say that regel would? And the answer is fine, mitomun. Fine. So we can try to prove from a case of tomun. So now we've learned before that with fire, you're potter for tomun. If you have, as we've learned a couple of times, that if you have something hidden and it was burnt by the fire, then you're potter by it. The classic example being where the person's stack of grain had something hidden inside it, and you're potter for those kalim having been burnt, as the Gemara is going to learn later on in the Masechta from Psukim. So now, in the case of regal, though, you don't have any such ptur. If the regal of an animal were to step on a bag full of things, the owner of the animal is still chayev for whatever was in there that was broken.
If it wasn't stepping into grain, hiding grain.
Yeah. Because there you don't have the whole concept of tumun, only applies to fire. So then in that case, then you can prove, so you can still make your kal v'chomer. Regal is potter b'shus rabim. In chatzara nizik, it's chayev nezik shalim even for tamun. So then keren, which is chayev chatzi kofer b'shus rabim. So then maybe you should be paying kofer shalim b'shus nizik. So fine, we won't necessarily show from that you're paying kofer for regal, but at least we should be able to prove then that like Reb Tyfon says that keren should be paying kofer shalom, that keren should be paying kofer shalom versus anizim. Okay, so the Gemara says malat tamun shekain yesh nemabur. Fine, but you can slug that up because you can say that tamun does apply to a different avnizikin. There is a concept of tamun when it comes to a bur. Now earlier in the Masechta on Daf Yud, when we learned this in the previous perek, Rashi had said over there that an example of tamun in a bur would be, for example, if a bag full of grain falls into a bur. Tosfos asked on that. We've learned before, and we're going to learn later in the Masechta, that you're potter for kalim that get damaged in a bur. And kalim doesn't just mean vessels; it means anything else that's not an animal. So you would be potter in that case for the grain that falls in. Here, Rashi therefore gives a different example. It means, let's say you had an animal inside a bag. Let's say you had a little goat tied up in a bag, and then that bag fell into the bur, and the goat got injured or killed. So then you chayev for that. So in that case, then, so as opposed to, again, kofer doesn't apply to a bur. So the answer is mi kalim. Fine, prove from the case where regel stepped on kalim and broke them. So again, it's potter in a shasar abim, but it's chayev in chatzar anizim. And kalim, it's potter in a bur. So you can't disprove that from bur. But the Gemara says malak kalim sheyeshin and be'esh. On the other hand, kalim are the concept of esh is applicable to them if they're not tomun. And you set a fire and it burns somebody else's kalim and his property, then sure you're chayev. And the answer is fine. The kalim tmunim. Fine, if it's both, if it's kalim and it's tomun. So then, because of tomun, it's potter by esh. Because it's kalim, it's potter by bur. And yet we see that regel you're chayev. But the Gemara says malak kalim tmunim sheyeshin and ba'adam. But on the other hand, kalim tmunim, you would be chayev for if a person damages them. And kofer, we established before, does not apply when a person causes the damage. So here the Gemara had been trying to say that maybe Reb Tyfon was attempting to make his kal v'chomer not based on kofer but regel at all. Reb Shimi min Ahada was arguing that he's trying to get it from nizokin of regel, from the fact that you have to pay for the nezik of regel. But now we seem to have blocked all that off, because you can have a case where regel is chayev, none of the other obvious nezikin, or not none of the other, bur and eish are not chayev, namely we're talking about kalim tmunim. Adam, on the other hand, would be chayev with them, because Adam mu'ad la'olam, and he's chayev regardless. So what are you going to say then? You're going to make a kal v'chomer. You're going to try to make a kal v'chomer madach nizokin of regel, where you potter b'shus harabim, but chayev b'shus hanizek. So how much more so than you should say that? How much more so you should say about kofer as far as keren, but kofer doesn't apply to a person. So you see, even when something is chayev, then nevertheless kofer doesn't necessarily apply. So you can't learn from nizokin de regel. So obviously, therefore, elalav shmamin amakofer de regel ma'isila. So therefore, obviously, Reb Tyfon's argument has to be based on the assumption that there is kofer when it comes to regel. And therefore, you can make his kal v'chomer based on that and say that if regel is potter from everything in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but in Rosh Hashanah Nizik, it's paying kofer. So how much more so Karen should be paying kofer, should be paying kofer shalom. So Alma ikka kofer beregel. That demonstrates that there is kofer when it comes to regel. Good, shmamina. So that proves it. Yes. So in the case that we asked about before, where an animal steps on a baby in Rosh Hashanah Nizik and kills it, that the owner should have to be a kofer. Yes, in fact, we've established that that is the case. There is a valid basis for saying that. Okay. So the Gemara finishes off. In fact, it's logical to say that there is kofer in regel. If you were going to say that there is not, the tanim in zikin de regel maisila, and that the Tana before of Typhon was going to try to learn it from Nezek of Regal, like Rav Shimi had said before, you would have Lifrich. There's another way you could slug it up. Malin Nizakin de Regal, Shekain Yeshnin Beregal. Because after all, those Nizakin of Regal do apply to the Regal itself. Namely, in other words, that exactly that. You have the Torah tells us that when the Regal causes damage, you're paying Nizakin. As opposed to, if you're going to say that there's no such thing as kofa by regal, then there isn't. Then you could say, in other words, you know what? When you find something that applies to regal, then fine, you can apply it to the other things. But if kofa bichlal doesn't apply to regal, what are you even using as a basis to learn to anything else? So aside from all the points we said before that even in the case of kalim tmunim, it wouldn't work. But even in a regular case, you would say, if you were to say as a given that there's no kofa when it comes to regal, then just the opposite. You can turn around the kavah chomer and say that in that case, you're not going to apply anything that doesn't actually apply to regal. So therefore, you wouldn't apply kofer to regal, because we've just said it doesn't apply, it doesn't exist. Alma ikka kofer beregal. Obviously, that shows there must be kofer and regal in order to make the whole argument work. So again, shmamina, that proves it, and that's how it is. There is kofer when it comes to regal, and as Tosfos points out, also as far as Shane, where it's normal for a wild animal to eat. So in short, any method, so we learned at the beginning of the Masechta that when we say sure, it includes three different Ovis Nezikin, Keren, Shein, Regal. So now we're saying that Kofa will apply to any of those. On the other hand, when it comes to a person, we said we were reminded from the word Olav, and Bird and Esh, Tosfos points out, are also excluded from that. So therefore, in those cases, there's no Kofa. So we're saying now we don't necessarily accept Reb Tarfin's Kavachomer in full, because his Kavachomer is based on the idea that there's Chatsi Kofa B'Rishos HaRabim for Karen, and that's Reb Yosi Aglili holds that. The other Chachamim disagree with him. So that causes the Kavachomer that gives no basis for the Kavachomer, but nevertheless, we see that there is the underlying concept that there should be kofer by regal does apply, and therefore that part of the argument has not been the chum don't disagree with, and therefore we can see that it does apply. Okay, Mishnah says, Adam Mord, now that we talked about in the previous Mishnah, we have a shur can be tam and Mord. Now, on the other hand, Adam Mord La'olam, a person is always Mord, and he's always responsible for Nezek Shalim, for his damage, Ben Shogig Ben Mezid, whether he did the damage Ben Shogig Ben Mezid, Ben Er Ben Yoshin, whether he was awake or asleep. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, Tosfos had pointed out that, let's say, while he was asleep, somebody had gone and put Kalim near him, then he would be Potter because he couldn't have known that they were there. In fact, the Yerushalmi says also you can have a case where somebody else went and lay down to him, where Kent went and lay down next to him, and then while they were both asleep, they both kicked and injured each other. So the one who was sleeping there first is going to be Potter, because again, he had no way of knowing somebody else is going to be sleeping there. The second one is Chayev, because he was careless in going and sleeping next to somebody else and taking the possibility and then taking the risk that the other guy is going to go flail around and injure him. So yeah. Anyway, so the Mishnah continues. Simes ein chaveira v'shiver es hakelim. What would happen if one person blinded somebody else and damages kalim? Meshalim nezek shalim. Then he's paying nezek shalim So it means, it can mean either or. It can mean either he blinded the eye, he's paying Nezek Shalom, and even though it was Beshegig, or if he broke the Kalim, he's paying Nezek Shalom. It could mean even both. It can mean that he did both, the damaging the eye and breaking the Kalim, because Kamalei B'Dirab, I mean, is not going to apply over here because there's no Onish Misa or Malchus or anything. Okay. So the Gemara says, Katani Simes En Chaveda Jumya Deshiva Es HaKalim. Well, the Mishnah is apparently showing that there is a comparison between blinding a person and breaking his Kalim. What's the comparison? Ma hosem nezek ein abad dvarim loy. Now, when it comes to damaging kalim, there's no abad dvarim. You're not paying tsar, ripui, sheves, and boshes, because obviously those are irrelevant as far as kalim. Af simas ein chaveiroi. So apparently the idea is that if somebody blinded somebody else, b'shoigig, nezek ein abad dvarim loy, then he would pay only nezek, but not the other things. And why would that be? Because where does the Torah tell us about the other things? The Torah tells us about ripui and shevis in connection with in mishpatim, where it says v'chiyirivu nanoshim, when people are fighting and one of them hits the other, where that's either mezid or korev mezid. Either he deliberately intended to injure the guy, or at least they're fighting and it's korev mezid. It's very likely somebody is going to get hurt. So therefore, the Torah is implying that when it's b'shoigig, then you're not paying ripui and shevis, and similarly with the other extra things. So the Gemara says, Minahani Mili. In that case, where do we know that from? Where do we know that he's chayev? Where do we know that he's chayev for nezek, even if he's shoigig? Fine, we just said that he's chayev, that he's potter for tsar and ripui and so forth, if it's b'shoigig, because the pasuk is presenting those only in connection with mezid. But fakir, how do we know that if he's shoigig, that he's chayev anything at all? Maybe b'shoigig you should be potter, or only paying chatzin nezek or something. So Omar Chizkiya, says, v'chein tona dvei Chizkiya, and similarly a Tana from the yeshiva of Chizkiya taught a Braisa, similarly someone from the yeshiva of Chizkiya taught a Braisa, meaning Omar Chizkiya would mean he's saying as an Amora. Tona dvei Chizkiya means they composed a Braisa, or maybe not composed, maybe they learned from an Udi or Braisa, whatever, that they taught, that also says this point. Anyway, Omakro, the Pasuk says, Petza tachas potza. The Pasuk says, a wound in place of a wound. Now, the Pasuk already says elsewhere, now you have a few different places in the Torah where it talks about this concept of paying for injuries. The major one, you have a major one in Parashas Mishpatim, where you have over there, Ayin tachas ayin, Shein tachas Shein, etc. Then you have, It mentions this concept also in Parashas Emor at the end. You have the Ishkiyit and Mumba Misoi, Kasha Sakanya Osaloi Shane Tachas Shane, etc. So you have in other places where it mentions it also, but those are the main ones. Anyway, the point is that once it says Ishkiyit and Mumba Misoi means that and when it says Kasha also Kenya also loy, as we said before, it doesn't mean that they actually injure him. It means that he has to pay money instead later on in the eighth perek of Amasechta. The Gemara is going to go through a long sugya proving in many different ways that that's the case. Ultimately, the Rambam says, all the Lemudim from Sukkim aside, very nice. The fact is, we see from generation to generation in Bote Dinim that that's how they did. Anyway, the point is, so once we already have that Pasuk, we already know that he's paying Nezek. So why does the Pasuk have to say also Petza Tachas Potza, a wound in place of a wound? So therefore, so we learn from that, L'chai V'ala Shoigig K'mezid, V'ala Onis K'rotzen, there you learn that he's paying also for Shoigig as if it was Mezid, and Onis just as if it was Rotzen. So that's where we learn this concept from. What is the difference, by the way, between mezid and rotzon? So Rashi elsewhere says there's no real difference. When we mention shoigig, then the opposite of it is mezid. When we mention oinus, the opposite of it is rotzon. On the other hand, you could have, for example, a person who's onus, but he knows that he's causing damage. So that would be oinus and mezid. So it's not necessarily that mezid is always rotzen. Tosfos points out elsewhere that you could have oinus together with mezid. Anyway, the point is so therefore from that pasuk we're learning that even a shoigig is paying nezid. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Haimi bar lived in tsar v'makom nezik. Don't we need that pasuk to teach us a different point that you're paying tsar even when you're paying nezik? Meaning, in other words, now, you can have a case where there's tsar without nezek, sure. You can have later on in the Masechta, when we talk in Perek HaChoyvel, that eighth Perek, we talk about all about the dinim of one person injuring another. So you can have, for example, let's say he burnt him on his fingernail. So now there's no nezek. It's not going to, the definition of nezek is that now the person is worth less, like on the slave market or something. Well, if he has a burnt fingernail, that's not going to prevent him. But there is tsar, of course. So then no question you're paying tsar because there's no nezek to talk about. But what about when there's both nezek and tsar? You would think once you're already paying for the nezek, why should you be paying for the tsar as well? You should say, after all, what is nezek? You're saying, for example, let's say a person chopped off somebody else's hand. So nezek is going to mean we're going to figure out how much was he worth before with two hands and how much is he worth now with only one hand. So you're going to say, look, okay, then I'm paying for the fact that he's missing a hand now. That means that he went through the tsar of losing his hand. Why am I paying separately for tsar? And the pasuk with the word petza tachas potza is telling us that no, you're still having to pay separately for that. Because as the Gemara points out later in the Masechta, conceivably, you can have where a person loses his hand in a way that's not so painful. You can have, for example, where they use some kind of anesthetic and then they cut it off, versus here where it was cut off in a way that pained him. So therefore, there is actually separate payment for tsar, and we learn that from the word petza tachas potza. Well, then in that case, we're learning from that. So how can we also learn from that you chayev b'shoigig? And Tosfos also adds that once we have this concept that you're paying tsar b'makom nezek, then that includes the other ones as well, Ripui, Shevis, and Boshes. Where later on in the Masechta, we learn all of them from the fact that you chayiv, and if you chayiv in Tsar, even when there's Nezek as well, you also chayiv in the other ones, even when there's Nezek as well. Anyway, so the answer is Haimi Boilith. So the answer is Imkain, Lema Kropetza Bipotza. Because then the Pasuk didn't have to use the word Tachas. It could have said a wound in or for a wound. So then we would learn petza itself would mean the nezek and bit petza would mean the tsar. My tachas potza, when it says instead of petza, shmamina tauti, therefore you can learn two things, that you're paying tsar even in such a case, and that you're paying even if it was b'shoigig. So that brings out what Chizkiyah had said. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to deal with a number of cases involving a shoigig, and we know that we have shoigig as far as the zikin, but we know as far as there are other areas of halacha also where there's a difference between shoigig and mezin. So now we're going to compare and contrast as far as those. So Omer Rabba, hoise even munachas lebechekoi. Suppose a person has a rock sitting in his lap. Vloihikuba, and didn't even realize that it was there. So, for example, let's say while he was sleeping, somebody put it over there, and he never realized that it was there. V'omad v'nafla, and then he stands up and it falls down. So, and it causes damage. So it depends. L'inyan nizokin. So if that rock injures a person, chayiv, then he's chayiv because we're saying he's chayiv even b'shoigig. L'inyan abad v'arim potter. On the other hand, as far as the tsar and so forth, he'd be potter because we said that's only b'mezin. Now, l'inyan Shabbos, what about if there's a malacha of Shabbos involved? So you could have, for example, that it went from one reshus to another, he moved it four amos, etc. So those, then he's put, then malachas machshevas, also Torah, we know the Torah is only machayev a person for malachas machshevas, for malacha that he had an intention to do, and here he didn't have any intention, so therefore he's completely potter. The Indian Golus, what would happen if that stone killed somebody? Does he have to go into the Ori? Does he have to run to the Ori Miklot? Potter, then also he would be Potter because it has to be. When does a person go to Golus? When it was, as the Pasuk says, Bishgoga. So Rashi points out, Bishgoga implies that he knew something originally and then he forgot it. Here he never knew that this rock was there in the first place. Therefore, that's not considered shgaga. That would be considered. So yeah, when it comes to the Ore Miklot, you have a category, you have mezid or korev lemezid, you have oines, and then you have in between, you have shogig. Only in the case of shogig does he go into the Ore Miklot. Here, this is more like an oines because he never knew the rock was there in the first place.
With an axe in the woods,
for example, he knows he's chopping wood and he needs to be careful to prevent his axe head from flying off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here he didn't know Bechlal that the rock was there, right? So L'inyan Golos Potter, L'inyan Eved, what would happen if this stone injured an Eved and injured his eye or his tooth or any one of the 24 Rosh Evarim that we learned about in Kiddushin? So then Plokta did Rabshim ben Gamliel over Rabbanon, that will actually be subject to a machloikus between Rabshim ben Gamliel and the Chachamim. Namely, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, we learn this in Kedushin. Harei Shahaya Rabbi Roithi, what if the Eved, this is an Eved Knani, as usual, that we're talking about. So an Eved Knani, if his master is a doctor, V'omaloi, and the Eved says to the master, Choyel Eini, put powder or eyeshadow into my eye, which was meant for refuah, because his eye is hurting, and this kind of powder or whatever it was meant to cure it. And he did the sima, and accidentally, while he was doing that, he blinded him in that eye. Or chaser li shini, or he says, dig around my tooth to get rid of the plaque and whatever else around my tooth. V'hipila, and he accidentally knocked out the tooth. V'nafla, and he accidentally knocked out the. Where am I? Yeah. Oh, I lost the place. Chaser li shini v'hipila. Yeah. So and he caused the tooth to fall out. So then the slave can laugh at the master and he goes free. In other words, he's saying that, look, you know, I was the one who gave you the idea to do this in the first place, and look at this, because of this, I end up going free. On the other hand, Reb Shimon Gamliel, says, no, the word v'shichasa, that he damages it in the pasuk, means only if he intends to damage it. So he didn't intend to, so therefore he doesn't go free. So now over here, where the master was holding a rock in his lap, where again he didn't even know the rock was there, and he dropped it and it landed on the Eben and knocked out his tooth or whatever, according to Chachamim, it wouldn't matter. The slave goes free, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. And Tosfos also adds, now we did learn in Kiddushin, we had a case over there, for example, where a Shifcha was pregnant. And the master reaches in over there to pull out the baby, and accidentally he blinds the baby. The Chum said there he's potter because he wasn't intending to touch the eye. So Tosfos says, no, what it needs to be, according to the Chachamim, why are we saying, when are we saying that if you have both things, if you have two factors where he didn't intend to touch the eye and he's meaning for the good of the Eved, like over there where he's trying to help her give birth, then therefore that would be where he's potter. Here, the fact of the matter is, here in the case where he's putting eyeshadow into the eye, he did intend to put eyeshadow into the eye, so he does intend to touch the eye, so it doesn't matter that it was Latei Vasei. In the case of the rock, he didn't mean for anything, but the fact is he wasn't meaning Latei Vasei. Only in order for him to be potter, according to the Chum, Tosfos says, you'd have to have two factors, that he didn't mean to touch the eye, and that what he was doing was meant Latei Vasei. And here it's not, because here there was no meaning Latei Vasei, because it didn't mean anything at all. Because it was in his lap, and he didn't realize it yet. Okay. Now, how about another case? Hikuba, what about if he knew the rock was there at one point, the shacha, then he forgot about it, but Omad, the nafla, and now he fell, and now he stood up and it fell down. So now it's going to be a little different. L'inyan nezakin chayev, so as far as nezakin is chayev, same as the previous case, because there we say shogig and mezi, it doesn't matter. L'inyan dalad varim potter, as far as the other four things, he's still potter, because it's still not that he was, there's still no mezi, it's a shogig. It's still not mezid, and shogig we established before. There's no abad varim. You're not paying tsar on the rest of them. L'inyan golos chayev. When it comes to golos, when it comes to going to the Orei Mikla, there he's going to be chayev to amakra b'shigaga, because the pasuk says that he's chayev when there was a shigaga mikla the havalei yediyah, implying that we're talking about where he knew of something in the first place, and then he forgot, and that would be so. Therefore, that would be the case where he's going to the Orei Mikla.
Even though he forgot
the rock was there, then nevertheless we still say that we still say that this is considered bishgaga, because he knew of it beforehand. So he had yedia, because at one time he knew that rock was in his lap, and therefore he should have taken precautions. L'inyan Shabbos potter, as far as Shabbos, he's going to be potter, because again you still need malachas machshavas. Shabbos. If this happened on Shabbos, if he had the rock on his lap on Shabbos, and then he stood up, and the rock traveled arba amos b'shosarabim, or it injured somebody, which is also one of the malachas of Shabbos, a tolda of shoychet or choyvel. So then he's going to be potter. He's going to be potter from breaking Shabbos, because that's not the kind of shogig which is potter on Shabbos. The shogig that's chayev achatas on Shabbos would be if he didn't know it was Shabbos, he didn't know this malacha was also or something, but not over here where he did something which he didn't even realize he's doing. So therefore, we'd be potter because not malachas machsheves. And that's the point. Because we say malachas machsheves, it means the doing, whatever it is he's doing, he has to be conscious that he's doing it. Now, he may not realize that there's a problem with him doing this. He may not know this is a malacha. He may not know this is Shabbos. But at least he knows, I am consciously turning on this light, or I'm consciously doing whatever. Here he's
right, right now, being not conscious of
it. That's the point. That's why he's potter by Shabbos. That's exactly why he's potter. Okay. L'inyan Eved plukta the Reb Shimon Gamliel v'Rabbanan, and according to the Eved, it'll be the same machlokas Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim, because according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, he didn't mean to do anything, therefore he's potter, and according to the Chachamim, he's chayev, and he has to free the Eved, because the fact is he did knock out his eye or his tooth, and as Tosfos said, he wasn't trying to do something with Tevase. He wasn't trying to do something for the good of the Eved. Had he been trying to do for the good of the Eved, and he wasn't intending to touch the eye, then the Chachamim would say he's potter, like we said before about the case where he's trying to birth the baby.
Right. Also, when he's doing the Torah, he's taking away the section he has in his eye.
That's the point. No, so what Tosfos is saying is, in order, according to the Chachamim, in order for the master to be free from in order to be, for him to be exempt, for him to be potter, from freeing the slave, you need two factors. It has to be he was not intending to touch the eye at all, and number two, that he's meaning the Tevase. When he sticks his hand into the Shifcha's womb to get out the baby, then they have both of those factors. He's not meaning to touch the eye of the baby, but accidentally he did. And he was meaning Latevasa because he's trying to help her. He's trying to help her give birth. And he's trying to, for the good of the baby as well, to get it out of there. So therefore, that's why the Chacham would say he's potter. When he's putting eye shadow into the eye, he is meaning to touch the eye. It is true that he's meaning Latevasa, but on the other hand, the fact is he is taking a risk by touching the eye. And in the case of the rock, he's not meaning to touch the eye, but he's not doing Latevasa either because he didn't have anything in mind. So therefore, that would be why the Chacham would say he's chayav. Okay, another case. Niskaven Lizrik Shtayim Vizorak Arba. What about if he meant to throw a rock 2 amas and in the end it ended up traveling 4 amas? L'inyan Nizokin Chayev. Nizokin, again, he's going to be Chayev regardless because Shtroigig is just like Mazid. L'inyan Dalad Varim Potter. As far as the 4 things, he's going to be Potter because the same thing, he's Shtroigig. L'inyan Shabbos.
Not sure if he knew he's throwing it.
He knew he's throwing it 2 amas, but he didn't know that it's going to travel 4 amas and then injure somebody. So therefore,
throwing, you know he's doing.
That's fine, but nevertheless, it's still. Nevertheless, though, he's still pot. Well, so in Shabbos, Malachas Machshavas Be'inin. When it comes to Shabbos, we require Malachas Machshavas, and he intended to throw it only 2 amas, which would not be a malacha. So only 4 amas is a malacha. In fact, Tosfos says now there is a case in Masechta Shabbos where Abaya holds that he can be chayiv in a similar case, but that would be actually where he intended to throw it. He thought he's throwing it to a certain distance, and it turns out that distance is 4 amas away. But here we're talking about he actually intended to throw it a measured distance of 2 amas, and it went further than he wanted to. So again, Nezokin is Chayev, Dalab Ronim is Potter, Shabbos is Potter, Le'inin Golos Asher Le'tzada Omer Achmana Pratman Eskavim Lizik Shayim Bezarach Dalad. As far as Golos, he's going to be Chayev because the Pasuk says, Va'asher Le'tzada, when a person was not lying in wait for somebody else, where he killed him accidentally, and the Pasuk says, that then if he kills B'shergig, he's Chayev Golos, meaning what we say, in other words, is, Rashi brings two possibilities. One is that the Gemara means he's chayev in Golos, because when we say Prat Meskayev and Lizik Shtayim Bezarak Arba means we're not going to consider him a mazid, but we will consider him a shoyde. Like this, Loit Soda, that Soda means like he's lying in wait. It actually brings on the Pasuk over there that the word Soda, one way of understanding would be Meloshin Sayid, Meloshin hunting, so like he's trying to hunt down the other person, and Rashi prefers to say over there that actually it's Meloshin Sad, like he's trying to find a way in which to kill the other person. Anyway, Asher Leitzada means he's not intending to do that. So here, though, what we're saying is if he intended to throw the rock and it went further than he did, you can't say he was intending to kill the other guy because the other guy's standing 4 amas away. And if he had thrown it only 2 amas, it never would have hit the other guy. So therefore, we can't call it Asher Leitzada. Therefore, we apply the rest of the pasuk to Samti L'chamokim that Hashem says, I'll give you Ori Mikvah. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is on the contrary. We say that he's potter from Golos because Asher Leitzada, he had no intention of throwing it at all. For example, the classic case where a person is chopping wood and the axe handle flies off. But here, where he intended to throw it, even though it did go further than he wanted to, then we can't consider that a total shoygig, and therefore that would be the kind where he's potter from Golos. What it means is, in other words, on the other hand, he's not completely potter from punishment. It means the Goyal Adam can come for him. It means he's going to have to watch his back. Yeah. Anytime, many times. So it's a, it would be good for him to go to the Orem Miklat, but in this case, according to Rashi's second explanation, we're saying that the Orem Miklat won't protect him. Okay. So that's as far as that. And in an Ebed, plucked the Reb Shimon Gamliel over Rabbanon. And again, as far as the Ebed, you're going to have the same machloekas of Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim, because again, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, he doesn't have to free the Ebed. According to the Chachamim, he does. Next, here's another case. Niskaven Lizrik Arba Vezorak Shmoina. What if he intended to throw the rock 4 amas and it ended up traveling 8 amas and then causing damage or whatever? So now it's different. Leinin Nizokin Chayev, Nizokin is Chayev regardless, as we've said all this time. Leinin Dalad Vodim Potter, the 4 things he's going to be Potter, as we've been saying all this time.
Why is it he went, he didn't,
because the fact is, he didn't intend to cause the injury. So as far as being paid, as far as being Chayev for Nezek, as we've been saying, Adam Mur Loilam, but as far as the Tsar, Ripoy, etc., that it needs to be that he's Miskaven, and he wasn't Miskaven to hit the other person. He was Miskaven to throw it, but he wasn't Miskaven to throw it far enough to hit the other person. So therefore, he's potter from the Dalad Vodim, just like we've been saying all this long. L'inyan Shabbos, as far as Shabbos, it will really depend. But if he says that my intention is, I don't really care where it lands, wherever it lands, and it's fine with me, then he's going to be chayev. Because then, malachas machshavas. Now you have, he intended to throw the rock from point A to point B, at least 4 amas, which is the amount you need to be chayev for Shabbos. And he said he doesn't really care where it lands. Eloi, but if not, if he intended for it to davka land 4 amas away, then he's going to be potter because it's still not malachas machshavas. Because even though he intended to throw it 4 amas, it landed in a different place than he intended, and malachas machshavas means the malacha that he wanted to do was actually accomplished. Here he intended for it to land 4 amas away, and instead it landed someplace outside those 4 amas. That is not what he intended. So even though his intention was to do a malacha of Shabbos, the malacha as he wanted it did not in fact get accomplished.
Doesn't matter if a person walks out of the boundaries, you're chayef.
Boundaries is something different. Tchum Shabbos is something else. But no, but no, here we're talking about throwing things. We're saying that when a person throws 4 amas on Shabbos, he's chayef. But only the Gemara talks about this in Shabbos. Here it's not Masechta Shabbos, so it's not really the detailed place to talk about it. But yes, it would have to be. So either that he says, I don't care where it lands. The normal case, when a person throws something, he doesn't particularly care where it lands. But imagine, for example, say a person is playing baseball on Shabbos. He wants davka, that the ball that he's throwing is going to land davka at first base. If he throws it further and it goes past first base, so you can say, you're not going to say he's chayev for a malacha of Shabbos. It's still also for him to do. It's potter, and potter in Hilchos Shabbos almost always means abel osir. He's definitely osir to do it. But we can't be machayev him. We can't be machayev him for breaking Shabbos. We can't be machayev him machatas b'shogeg or skill of amazing for breaking Shabbos, because the fact is the malacha that he intended to do did not actually get accomplished. He intended for it to land on first base, and it did not. Okay. So in Hilchos Shabbos, it'll depend. As far as Inyan Golos, again, we're going to apply Asher Lo Tzada, as the Pasuk says that he didn't intend to kill the other person. Prat Leniskaven Lizrik Arba Vezorak Shmoina. So therefore, that also excludes the case where he intended to throw it 4 and threw it 8, and you're going to have the same kind of... So Rashi, by the way, as far as Shabbos, makes the distinction. When he intended to throw it 2 amas and it went 4, then it doesn't really matter whether he said, I don't care where it lands. Because the fact is, his intention was not for malacha in the first place, because the definition of the malacha is 4 amas. But when he said, when he intends to throw it at least 4 amas, then it depends what his intention is, where it's going to land. So anyway, so as far as Golos, again, we're saying Asher Leitzada Prat Leniskaven Lizrik Arba Vezorak Shmoina. So you're going to have the same two Lashonis in Rashi. Does that mean that he's Potter from Golos, or does it mean that he's Chayev in Golos, or does it mean that he's Potter but he better watch his back? And L'inyan Eved plugged to Reb Shimon Gamliel over Rabbanon. As far as the Eved, again, it's going to be the same machlokas, Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon, whether he's chayev to free the Eved or not, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, no, and according to the Chachamim, yes. So those are all various cases involving those are all various cases involving involving throwing something or involving involving rocks and involving throwing them and whatever where we can distinguish. So in short, in all the cases we're going to say that he's chayev from nizokin. In all the cases we're going to say he's potter from abod varim because there's a shogig aspect involved. Shabbos, we said it depends. In most of the cases, he's potter. In the last case of 4 versus 8, there can be a case where he's chayev. As far as Golos, we're saying sometimes potter, sometimes chayev, depends on how much yediyah he had of the situation. And in the case of the Eved, each time it's the same machlokes from Shimon Gamliel and the Chacham. Okay. Shukriya, everyone.